Pleased to welcome into the show Michael Casagrande, AL.com. Michael, thanks for the time, man, as always. And yesterday with Nick Saban and the other SEC coaches running through the car wash at ESPN, I guess you're like me. You're sitting here trying to figure out the schedule and figure out where Saban is going to be next and see if you can catch something different other than what he may have said in the previous interview.
Yeah, no, they're doing a good job of asking some good questions, some different kinds of questions to kind of give a little bit of variety of things. They're pretty good up there. They've got interview coaches that do a good job with them. So there's some good stuff to go to write about yesterday.
Did you see anything different or hear a lot different than what we saw in media days? Maybe the approach at all? And I guess while they're doing a ton of things, the sheer numbers aren't quite as crazy, Michael, for them to deal with over the course of that stretch as it was last week in Hoover.
Yeah, no, they have different, you know, they got them one-on-one, so there's a different kind of dynamic of the situation as opposed to sitting in a ballroom with a couple hundred people trying to hold one question at a time. They're able to develop a little bit of a theme to things, and, you know, they were able to show them video of him dancing with the recruiting business and, you know, and talk a little bit about how he's lightened up, thawed out a little bit over the years. So it will help with the dynamic of things and maybe get some better answers.
You got a number of stories that you came out with over the last couple of days in dealing really with what Coach was talking about. And one of them, you were pulling from really his interview with SVP and Russillo on ESPN Radio. Everybody's talking about the quarterback slot and whether it's going to be Jake Coker. And I did think his comments about the expectations for whoever is the starting guy to immediately take this team to a national title or think that it's a given that it'll occur was very unfair. Just kind of share your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of what Nick Saban does. He's not gonna be the one who's there and say Alabama wants those expectations. They kind of want to deal with their own issues, their own way. So it's not surprising. It was posed to him as a question that, is it fair for them to have national title expectations? I don't know if any coach in the country would say, yes, it's fair to have national title expectations, even if you're Alabama. So it's sort of the way the question was asked and the way the whole thing went around. But, I mean, it is kind of hard. I mean, it's hard to expect it, but then you look at the last two times that Alabama had a first-year quarterback and both of them won a national championship. So that's one way, but there's also a different dynamic to the way this whole competition is done. These aren't guys who have been in the program. Well, except for Blake Stone has been a program, but he hasn't always been a quarterback. So there's a whole different thing here. It's just not the same kind of quarterback competition.
Michael Casagrande, AL.com, the Alabama Media Group, joining us here on Tide 99.1. So much made about the quarterback slot. Is that going to be the biggest question mark to you, or is it still solidifying the offensive line that will have a bigger impact to you?
You know, it's a good question, but I think it all comes back to that quarterback. It's the kind of thing that everything feeds off of that. If you have a quarterback, you can manage things. It's going to be much better than, you know, if you have an offensive line who can block for a quarterback, who can't make the decisions back there, then you just, you know, what do you really have? So I think it all starts with that. I think the leadership and everything, it all comes from the quarterback. I think it's easy to put everything into that pile and say that's the only thing that matters. Obviously, there's a lot more to it, and that's offensive line is huge. But we proved last year that when there wasn't the great communication chemistry, when things can go wrong. So I think it's unfair to say that the offensive line isn't something to be concerned about, because it definitely is, with some key pieces to believe in.
You mentioned leadership, and there was so much off-season discussion about that, and AJ making headlines when he talked about some of the teammates being selfish and everything. Christian Jones is a guy that I've kind of said, Michael, could be one of the true leaders offensively this year, even though he doesn't play the quarterback slot, even though he's not even the highest profiled receiver. But because of his tenure there, because of the success he has had and kind of his personality, he could fall into that role. You've got another story from yesterday where, going back to media days, he was pretty outspoken that maybe the blame shouldn't have gone necessarily to those young guys.
Yeah, I thought that was one of the more interesting comments from media days. But AJ's comments weren't correct, and it kind of starts off with the leader the defense at the tone for things, and it's not always, you know, sometimes on you know, buck stops at the top. And so I thought that was interesting, you know, hear Benny players kind of coming out, and he kind of read between the lines, but he pretty much said that, you know, the leadership was lacking in another point in the story. He was talking about how you could see a point where the team fractured a little bit, and there wasn't quite the cohesiveness towards the end of the season. So I think that speaks a lot, and it's kind of from observational things and other things you hear, it kind of fits with everything that I've understood about the dynamic of that team from last season.
Michael Casagrande from AL.com joining us on our Bud Light Hotline presented by Green Beverage. Not surprising what they came up with, but ESPN has got their projected depth chart for the Alabama quarterback slot. Jake Coker is where they've got who they've got bracketed one. Everybody does, basically, except Coach Saban and Blake Sims. But they got Blake second, Cooper Bateman, David Cornwell. How tough of a battle do you think it will be? Will it go as far as the A.J. McCarron Phillip Sims debate went into camp, or do you think that one or the other could have this wrapped up fairly quick?
I don't think anyone will wrap it up fairly quick, because I just think it takes some time for Coker to work in that practice mode. He's never had an official practice at all down there. Doesn't know how the whole routine goes, the rhythm, the pace of it. It's something that everyone's going to get used to. So, and I just like the kind of thing where Saban, it hasn't been, at least recently, the kind of coach that comes out and says, this is our quarterback and this is our backup. This is it sort of breeds the competition that's never really ending. You never want to have someone to relax and feel like, oh, I'm the quarterback. I've got this locked up. I can relax now. Look back to the A.J. McCarron Sims, he never made that definitive statement that A.J. McCarron is the Alabama quarterback, starting quarterback. It just sort of became that. He took all the snaps, and that was that. He never proclaimed it. So I see that kind of playing out again this way. Although he has some tickets of different tactics with this competition, but I think I don't see him changing that basic aspect of it.
There are 27 names, Michael, on the Johnny Unitas Golden Arm Award watch list. Okay, I think five of them are from the Southeastern Conference, and two of those guys, Jake Coker and Hudson Mason, haven't been the starter before. And as we've discussed, Coker's not even the starter yet. Is Coker's inclusion a reflection of how talented everybody thinks he is, or is it more of a reflection of how little star power there really is at the quarterback slot this year?
I think it's a lot of that, and it's also an award just for senior quarterbacks, so you take out a lot of players who, you know, juniors, you know, Nick Marshall, you know, a lot of players who would probably be, if it was just the best quarterback overall, would probably be included. So I think, you know, some of the 27 names of quarterbacks who are seniors, it's a little bit more difficult to come up with that, you know, given by 27 names. But I think, you know, I don't really, it's hard to climb to mind some of the people that put up these preseason watch lists. They're so broad and vague, it's almost timeless going back writing about them, because it's so speculative and it's so early. It's July and no one's even put on a helmet to start that yet. So, but it's one of those things.
Is there any possible way that between now and the start of camp, other than recruiting, that you can have good news right now if you're Alabama or whoever your team is? Is this the spot? Are we in this stretch run of about 2.5-3 weeks where, Michael, more so than ever, no news is good news? Because there's a lot of schools out there that have got players. They're in the news, but it ain't good stuff right now.
No, yeah, and Alabama had a little run of that at the beginning of July with a couple of us. Yeah, this is not a time for headlines if you're a college football program. It's kind of that last stretch where they're some of the only students on campus. There's been a full campus. There's not a whole lot to do, and, you know, stuff kind of happens, it seems like, at this time of year. So, yeah, they have maybe another week to go before practice starts and the real structure of everything gets into it, and it'd be very surprising to see anything happen at that point.